right. And if you have your Bible, would you join me this morning in John chapter 1? John chapter 1, fourth book of the New Testament. And I'll give you a chance to get your hands free and or while you're still turning if necessary. And we usually have a little confession that we like to make together of our confidence in God's Spirit to speak to us through His Word and prepare our heart as we've been doing all along, I hope, during the service for His truth today. So if you agree with these words, would you join me? Those online as well, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is called not only the Son of God, he is called the Word of God. He's been the Son of God throughout eternity, but about 2,000 years ago, he took on a human body and became Jesus, and that's what this verse is referring to, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One of the main themes throughout Scripture is the glory of God and how we give him glory. I went through the Gospel of John here, and John used some form of the word glory over 30 times in this Gospel. It may be glory as a noun, it may be glorify as a verb. Jesus prayed a prayer for his followers in John 17. If you join me this week reading John 16 and 17, you may have come across this or may have stood out to you. But in his prayer for his followers past, present, and future, that would include us, Jesus used that word 8 times in John chapter 17 in his prayer. So this morning, I'd just like to take the time to hopefully ask and answer the question of what is the glory of God? And what difference can it make in how we live our lives today? Let me just give you a couple of simple definitions and then we'll go into it. First of all, the word glory itself has a wide range of meanings, but it basically comes down to splendor and brilliance. Splendor and brilliance. So when the scripture says here, we beheld his glory, it's like we beheld the splendor and brilliance of God in the body of Jesus. Because the Bible says in, I think it's 1 Timothy 6:16, I'll just tell you what it says. It says that God is immortal and he dwells in unapproachable light, which no man has ever seen nor can see. Remember, some of you are familiar with Moses when he wanted to see God's glory. He said, show me your glory. And God said, I can't let you see my full display of glory in your mortal body because you would die. So what God did was he placed his glory in the body of Jesus and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. It was life-giving glory. It was heart-transforming glory, not a glory to kill us, but to save us. Amen. So that is the glory. In fact, that base meaning of that word glory refers to the awesome light that radiates from God's presence. That's his glory, the awesome light that radiates from God's presence. And then the word glorify means to praise and to honor. It's to give him glory, it's to honor him, to praise him. So we talk about doing something to the glory of God. What we're basically saying is we're doing it to the honor of God, we're doing it to the praise of God. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that I would like to ask you to think about this week with me. Let's focus on it, and I'll just tell you what it says if you want to just write the reference down, 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Yeah. All to the glory of God. And just think about what a difference it would make in our world, in our lives, if we really did that. To do all to the glory of God. It might check my heart before I hit sin. It might cause me to reevaluate some of my entertainment choices. So we get the idea, right? So here's the message today I'd like to center on, if you want to just write this down. It's simply this: all the glory to God. All the glory to God. So that everything we do, God might use us. Thank God if he does. I hope he does. He will. But all the glory to God. Whatever fruit comes, whatever eternity is affected, however we can bless and serve, all the glory to God. So this morning, I want to just share two specific ways. There are more than two, certainly, but two specific ways that we can give glory to God. And they're found right here in John. So would you turn to chapter 15 with me? Let me give you these two. And then I want to come back to John chapter 2 and show you the first miracle of Jesus and how it's a picture of how God transforms us today. So John chapter 15 and verse 5. So here's how we glorify God. Number one, first of all, John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. You there is plural. It's not one single person. It's the body of Christ together. You are the, in fact, would you just turn to someone next to you and tell them, you're a branch too. So he says, you are the branches, and he who abides in me, that means remains in close fellowship with me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't bear fruit without him. So we can mess up, we can sin, but we can't bear spiritual fruit without him. And here is the fruit. It's Christ-likeness. So if you drop down to verse 8, it says this. Jesus is still speaking, and he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let me read the next couple of verses. As the Father loved me, I've loved you. Now make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's and abide in his. And then verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The joy of Jesus, he wants us to have his joy today and be filled with it. And then it becomes ours. And he says, now it's your joy. I want you to just abide in me, abide in my love. And then I'm going to give you joy as you do that, because those are fruit of the Spirit. So here is the first way we glorify God, is by Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness, that's the fruit. He's the vine, so as we remain in close fellowship with him, he produces Christ-likeness within us. That's the key. We have to stay in close fellowship with him. How do we do that? By prayer, by worship, by his word, by fellowship with other godly believers, by serving. Those are ways that we stay in close fellowship with him. And it's out of that close fellowship with him that we bear fruit. He produces it in us. Notice it's his fruit. It's not my fruit. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He produces that fruit in us. And then what happens is, as we abide and as we stay in close fellowship with him, he uses us to reach others. He uses us to disciple others, but it's all a growing process. Weeds grow quick. How many of y'all found that out? If you have a yard or, but fruit takes time, doesn't it? It takes some cultivating. It takes some watering and some tender. You gotta nurture it. Well, sometimes we grow through the valley, if I could say it that way, because tests and trials and temptations are part of this life. And if we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, that's the key. The Bible says that he is with us through the flood of temptations. He's with us through the fiery trials. The Bible says that God can prepare a roadway in the wilderness. He can make a stream in the desert. He can prepare a table before us right in the presence of our enemies. That's the key, is if we stay in close fellowship with him, then he will empower us. He will lead us in his victory. He will transform us, and we will grow in Christ's likeness, and he will get the glory. All the glory to God. Remember, the glory of Jesus is full of grace and truth. Aren't you thankful that we can receive the grace of God this morning? And thank God for the truth of his word. All the glory to God. Would you say that with me? All the glory to God. So just don't get, I know it's easy to get discouraged, man. We're going through the hard times and we all want to see the fruit. We want to see growth. And sometimes we'll just be honest and say, when, God, when? I don't know. All I can tell you is I feel you. I'm with you. But let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Would you turn to chapter 17? So all the glory to God. So we glorify God by, first of all, Christ's likeness. And then secondly, we glorify God by oneness. Christ's likeness and oneness. Would you say that with me? Christ's likeness and oneness. Let me just explain quickly about oneness. Oneness is not sameness. We are different. God didn't make us clones. He made us with our unique individuality and our personality. The issue is, will I submit my individuality and my uniqueness to the Lordship of Jesus so ultimately he can shine through me? Then he'll see our personality can be sanctified. Let's not just say, well, I'm just rude. I'm just quick-tempered. Well, you don't have to be. Ask God to help you. And so we grow, but ultimately we want to do it for his glory. So here's what Jesus, part of his prayer for us in John chapter 17. Would you look at verse 20? John 17, 20 says this, I do not pray for these alone, talking about his followers there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. If you're a believer today, you're included in this prayer. If you're not, you can be. Verse 21, that they all may be one. It's being in one accord. It's being in harmony. Not the same, but we're in one accord. There's no tension. There's nothing keeping us apart in our fellowship. So he says that they all may be one. Here's how. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. And here's the purpose, not only to glorify God, but Jesus said that the world may believe that you sent me. Brothers and sisters, when the world sees a church that is in one accord, it will be a testimony to them that Jesus really is who he said he is and that he has come into the world. Would you look at verse 23? Verse 23 says this, I in them, you, Father, in me, that they may be made perfect, that word means complete, be made complete in one, again, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's a powerful truth. That set me free from so much condemnation years ago when I really received that. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Think about that. We'll behold the glory of the Lord one day, not with the limitations of these bodies. And he says, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Church, how has God loved you? As he loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. So I believe this verse that I purposely skipped is the key. Would you look at verse 22? Jesus says, and the glory which you have given me, what did he do with it? He says, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. It's by the glory of the Lord, which he has already given to his church, if we would believe him and receive it, that we can become one and he will get the glory. I just believe that's a powerful truth because it's not just that we're going to see the glory or have the glory one day in heaven. That's coming. But it can't be just for heaven, because If it's just for heaven, how is it a testimony to unbelievers in the world right now? That's what the church, that's what Jesus wants for his bride, his body, his church, that we would come into a place of oneness by his glory and for his glory. All the glory to God. I believe that could transform Christian marriages. Amen. Think about that. Husband and wife realizing Jesus has given us his glory so that we can become one. Yes. One in purpose. One in prayer to give him the glory. Now, would you turn back to John chapter 2? I'll try to make this quick. I just want you to see this first miracle of Jesus, and I'll give you a couple of verses if you want to write down with it that kind of bring it out. John chapter 2, and I'll begin reading verse 1. The scripture says this, John chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus' first miracle here, okay? It says, on the third day, I mean, no, there's something special about that third day through the Bible. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and they ran out of wine. Now, if y'all remember, Sister Pam mentioned earlier, she has a relative, they're going to have a three-day wedding celebration. At this time, they lasted 7 days. And for whatever reason, I don't know if Jesus and the disciples, they were invited. Maybe they just big eaters or drinkers. No, I don't know. And for whatever reason, they ran out of wine. Now, in that culture, now, you know, if you invite someone to just a banquet or dinner and run out of food, it would be embarrassing. This was more than embarrassing. This was, it violated a social custom of hospitality and would have marred that family's reputation for the rest of their lives. So Mary had a good idea. I'm going to go to Jesus. And she said, they ran out of wine. And in our language, it might sound like this is a little disrespectful, but Jesus didn't mean it that way. I'll show you. Verse 4 is what it says. Jesus said to her, woman, or that actually can be translated, dear woman. It's a title of respect. So, dear woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Here's, my hour has not yet come. I don't know why Mary went. She may have just wanted some natural, hey, can you get somewhere or get some wine? Or to me, it sounds like she wanted him to start his public ministry, to work something that would help meet this need because it looked like humanly it wasn't going to be met. So he just said, dear woman, my hour has not yet come. See, the Father determined the hour of Jesus going public with his ministry. The Father determined the hour that he would suffer and die on the cross for our sins. But she accepted that. And let me just say this about where he says woman. When Jesus was suffering and gasping for air, dying on the cross, he saw his mom there with the man who wrote these words. And he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And John took her to his home and took care of her for that day forward. So it wasn't disrespectful at all. But he was also showing that he was more than her biological son. He was also her savior. Yes. So she gave him wise advice that's good for all of us. Would you look at verse 5? His mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you just do it. Whatever he tells you. Isn't that good advice for all of us? Whatever the Lord says, just go ahead and do that. Don't try to figure it out. You don't have to worry about it if you understand it. Just go ahead and do it. Obedience will bring your blessing. If you understand it later, fine. That's right. All the glory to God. Now, let me just tell you what happened. There were 6 water pots there, huge, like 20 or 30 gallons they held apiece. They were used for ritual purification of water. In their cleansing, 6 of them. They were made out of stone. They were earthen vessels. And Jesus said, fill them all with water. And the servants filled them up to the brim. Now, let me just tell you this. In the Bible, the number 6 represents man. Man was created on the 6th day. In Revelation chapter 13, there is one called a beast, and the scripture says that he has the number of a man. It's 666. So fill them up with water. It's a picture of us, these earthen vessels. Then the Bible says this, they filled them up. Verse 8, Jesus said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So when they drew it out and took it, the kind of the master of the ceremonies tasted it, and he called the groom over and said, bro, he said, usually all the weddings, you put the best stuff out to begin with. And then after people are full, and then you, if you had to bring out the little cheaper stuff to just get by for the rest of the week, that's what you do. But I see you did something different. You saved the good stuff till now. And he didn't know where it came from, but the servants knew. And this is what it says in verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. He manifested his glory by working a miracle of transforming water into wine. Now, let me give you a couple verses and I'm going to be done if you want to write these down. 6 represents humanity, mankind. So pouring water into these pots is like something being poured into us. This is what the Bible says. Let me read it to you from Jesus in John 7 about water. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this. John 7, 37. Maybe you'll look at it if you like. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, in his inmost being, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So filling those water pots with water is a picture of having God's Holy Spirit. Water represents the Holy Spirit and God's word. God's Spirit and God's word. Would you say that with me? God's Spirit and God's word. Ephesians 5, 26 says he washes the church and sets her apart by the washing of the water of the word, all right? So here is what God calls us to do. He calls us to receive his word, the truth of his word, to receive the fullness of his spirit. The Bible says work out what God works in. So as God works in his will in us, something happens as we work it out. And by God's Holy Spirit, he takes what we put in naturally and he adds his super to our natural, and it becomes transformation, and we grow in Christ's likeness, and he transforms us from one level of glory to another, just like he transformed that water into wine, and he does it all for his glory. Yes. Now, let me close with this. 2 Corinthians. I'll show you those scriptures when I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I can tell you that, but I want to show it to you from God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and just a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 15. It says, but to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. So we can have a veil over our heart and mind before we come to know the Lord. But when we come to him in repentance and faith and we are born again, God's Holy Spirit indwells us and the veil is taken away so that we can behold his glory. And this is how we behold it. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, would you say we all? With unveiled face, no veil, nothing between us, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we behold the glory of the Lord in worship, as we behold the glory of the Lord in prayer, as we behold the glory of the Lord in scripture, because the scripture is compared to a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, then we are transformed by God's Spirit, growing in Christ's likeness. As we grow in Christ's likeness, we can come into greater oneness because we're doing it for his glory, and God transforms us, and I lose some of the old Rocky and come to the new Rocky that's created after him. It's not just, thank God he worked that first miracle, but it's a picture of a greater miracle that God wants to do. transforming us on the inside so that like water into wine, we grow in Christ's likeness. And ultimately, we didn't do it. We can't do it. And it's not about us. How silly would it have been for the people in Jesus' day at that wedding to say, man, did you see those water pots? They were awesome. It's not the earthen vessel. It was the one who transformed from within. Last two verses, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we are born again and we put our faith in Jesus as Lord, his spirit enters us. That's his glory. His glory enters us and he does it in a way to transform us. That's why verse 7, it says this, but we have this treasure, he's the treasure, in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all the glory to God. Amen. Don't you want to grow in Christ's likeness today? To be transformed, he will do it. We do our part. We do our natural. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to abide. I'm going to stay in close fellowship with him. I'm going to worship, pray. I'm going to receive his word. And then he adds the super and turns our water into the wine of his Holy Spirit. And we grow in his likeness from one level of glory to another for his glory and honor. It's by his glory and for his glory. All the glory to God. Would you say that with me? All the glory to God. So let me ask you this. I'm gonna close in prayer. In what area today, just between you and the Lord now, would you say, Lord, I really wanna be transformed to be more like you in this area of my life? Whatever that is, maybe we all have an area. I wanna encourage you, just think about it and ask the Lord to help you. Here's what I wanna ask you to do this week. Will you abide? Will you stay in close fellowship with him so that he can do it in you and do it through you? Just think about it. Will you stay in close fellowship? And then whatever he does, will you give him the glory? Yes. Let's stand together. Lord, all I'll say is work it in us and then help us to work it out. We want to be your servants to just do what you say. And Lord, may you work in us, giving us the desire and the power to do your will. And then may you transform us as we behold your glory to grow more like you. Just with your heads bowed, and your eyes closed, I would like to just pray for you if I could specifically. Do you have at least maybe one specific area right now that you have in mind that you would say, Lord, I want to be transformed. I want to be more like you in this area of my life, whatever it is. Might be in an attitude. It might be in some action or habit or relationship. I don't know, whatever it is. If you would say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me today? I do have one area that I want the Lord to transform me, and I'm going to do my part to abide and just stay close to him for his glory. Would you just slip your hand up right where you are and let me... Wow, thank you so much. You can put your hands down. It was about filled up. I'll stand with you. Lord, I thank you for a moving of your spirit, Lord. We all want to get closer to you. We want to be more like you. We see our need, but you see it too. And so we come to you right now and say, Lord, have your way in us. I do ask you to, Lord, help us to just have a closer walk with you. Ultimately, that's what you want. Draw us to yourself. And then draw us to your will. Help us to behold your glory. And as we do, change us, transform us. Help us to be more like you so that ultimately it will be for your glory and your honor as a testimony. You want to use us. Fruit isn't for us. It's for you and for others. Use us in Jesus' name.